How many of you had the best week in your whole life? How many thought our nation had the best week in your life? How many's ever read Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark? I understand that America's reeling, but you shouldn't be. I understand that there's times of terror and times of panic and times of fear. I can't remember in my life when six police officers were shot and killed in one town, one city. And so everybody builds a case. I want to tell you something. There is no one groups of lives that matter. We all matter. White lives matter, black lives matter, yellow lives matter, red and yellow, black and white, they are what?
Precious.
Precious in His sight. And so don't get caught up in some terrorist movement that is trying to make one group of people stand out separately from others. That is ridiculous. God's not looking at, as Martin Luther King says, God's not looking at the color of your skin, He's looking at your heart, the intents of your heart. So this is not a time to come in and feel like America's going down the tubes. I was sitting working on something this morning, and I had to write it down because I'm not that smart to think of this. Sin gives us a distorted picture of truth and reality. Sin will make us look like, will make it look like Satan's winning and God is losing, when God never loses and is always in control. You cannot look at America and base everything you believe on America's sin, because sin distorts the picture. The Bible says that Jesus upholds all things by the word of His power. How do we let that go? God's always been and has never lost control of the world. You can go all the way back to Israel. They had some pretty hard times when they decided they didn't need God. But don't base your picture of what God is like and what God is doing based on people's sins. We need to realize that we, and you've been praying for the last days. How do you like them? I don't hear anybody saying amen. The Bible says that this is the beginning of sorrows. Let me tell you what it says, and I wrote them down. You've been praying for the rapture. This is what we're getting, and I believe in the rapture, and I know this was coming. But how many of us like it? How many people still believe in the rapture? How many now don't want to? Now you're not going to answer me. I believe Christ is coming, but I believe He's coming in His own time. But the Bible says this, men's heart will fail them for fear and the expectation of those things that are coming on the earth. Right from the Word of God. People's hearts will fail them for fear of what's coming. Luke chapter 21, verse 26. What's happening now is the beginning of sorrows. It's not the end. And we don't know how long that period will last. I'm not telling you we're in the tribulation. I'm telling you we're in the beginning of something. Okay. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. Anybody hear anything about war? Nation will rise against nation and kingdom will rise against kingdom. And ISIS will be feared around the world. That last part's not in there. There will be famines and earthquakes and tribulation, and people will try to kill you because they hate you. Hello? People will try to kill you because they hate you. The whole ISIS game is a hate war against anybody who's now with them. We okay? I'm not stopping here. This is the introduction. I know you're going to crawl under your chair and put your hard hats on. But let's face some facts. Oh, here's one. I know it never happened. Many will be offended. Really? Many will be offended. Okay. What does that mean? That means saying Satan's going to dangle a trap before you or anybody. In the center of that trap is a trigger. The Greek word is scandalon. People will try to get the bait off the trap and they'll be caught. That's what offense means. How many people do you know living in America alone that's offended? They're not getting their share. Nobody likes them. They're the wrong color. People will really be offended. Okay. How many of you are offended? How many of you are carrying offense today? I didn't say the fence. I said offense. Many will be offended and will betray one another. Somebody said, and I don't remember who it was, but it was kind of proved. Somebody said that every person alive will have somebody that will betray them. Somebody else said, if Jesus had a betrayer, why shouldn't we? So is it best not to trust anybody? No. Many will be offended and betray and will hate. Kind of make connection that offense kind of leads to hatred. False prophets will bring deception. Really? How many know somebody that's right on the edge of being in truth, but they're not? And they're trying to pull you into what they believe. That's the purpose of a deceiver. Purpose of a deceiver is that they make you lose focus and pull you into their way. They work with people who are weaker. They work with people who are lonely. They work with people who have an issue. Got a pretty good picture, don't we? You want to go home now and think about all this? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. Let's go through verse 1 first. I should put 15, but it's 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. For in the last days, what days? What does that mean? Did you hear Peter say on the day of Pentecost that in the last days I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh? So why do we base everything on what the devil's doing? But here's what's happening in people's lives. Perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. Really? Is that really going to happen? People are going to love pleasure more than God? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Isn't it kind of time, as the body of Christ, that we kind of elevate Christ to where he needs to be? You know what happened to Peter when he began to sink, when he was walking on water? He began to look that the wind was boisterous. And so what the church is doing in many places, maybe this morning, is looking what happened on Thursday or Wednesday, and instead of focusing on Jesus, focusing on the facts that some people got shot. I'm not minimizing that. That's terrible. Tragic. But things aren't going to end right now. Kirk kind of got preaching my message a little earlier. I don't know why he does that. But the last part of Matthew 24, he that endures, or he that stands firm to the end, shall be saved. If you're going to look at the signs of the times and determine your walk with God based on that, you're probably not going to walk very far. It's time we look at God and realize that even if I die for the kingdom of Christ, it's worth it. Self-preservation will not save you. We need to learn how to stand. The Bible tells us, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And having done all to stand, stand in Ephesians 6. If you notice the armor, the armor of God never gave you anything to protect your back. You're not supposed to be running away. We face the enemy head on. with the helmet of salvation, with the breastplate of righteousness, with our loins girt about with truth, with the shield of the Spirit, and with the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we stand. Doesn't say chase the devil. It doesn't say run from the devil. It says stand. And the body of Christ just needs to stand strong in this moment. We are protected eternally by Jesus Christ. God's grace in you and His presence in you is stronger than any device of the enemy. And whatever's coming, we stand in it. There's no place for a retreat. There's no place for changing our mind. There's no place for determining whose side we're on. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell, all the councils that Satan can bring together can never defeat the kingdom of God in His body and His church. You may not feel like a winner when you're watching some of this stuff. You may wonder what's going on, what's happening, where's God? God hasn't moved. He was the same place He was when His Son was nailed on a cross. And you say, well, why does this happen? Because God gave people a choice of how they want to live. And you may say, well, why didn't He save these cops? Well, why didn't He save Peter? Why didn't He save Paul? Why didn't He save 11 of 12 disciples? The only one He saved was John. And so we can figure all kinds of things, and the Satan throws all kinds of things at us. We need to realize one thing. God is God and we aren't. I know you say, well, I got a whole bunch of questions when I get to heaven. You mean if? No, I'm joking. You may have a lot of questions when you get before God, but when you get there, you're going to be so thrilled. Questions, you'll just have perfect knowledge. You won't have to ask a thing. But let's look at something. In the book of Joel, the Bible says in chapter 1 and verse 4, what the swarming locust didn't eat, the crawling locust ate. And what this locust didn't eat, this other locust ate. And what that locust didn't eat, this other locust ate. And so we think, Israel, he says, blow the trumpet, call a fast, call a solemn assembly. Get all your people together. Let's have the priests in sackcloth and weeping between the altar and the porch. Let's do this stuff. And then in chapter 2, if you want to turn there for a moment, you'll find the book of Joel right before Amos, if that helps you. Right pretty close after Daniel. The people called upon the Lord, and here's what the Lord responded. Love that sound. So I will restore to you the years the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour my spirit in those days. I want to tell you something. After repentance comes restoration and revival. God is giving America and the world a chance to come together in repentance. The Bible says in Acts 3:19, repent and be converted so times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. It's not over. America's not done. I don't care who's sending you letters and wanting you to send them money. Repentance always calms the hand of God. And I'm not saying God is doing this to us. People are doing this to us who are bound by a spirit of the enemy. It's not time for me or you or anybody. It's time for a call of repentance. It's time to sound the trumpet. It's time to have a change of mind. It's time to get rid of our selfish ways. It's time to get rid of our own pleasures that we're investing our life in that has nothing to do with God. And it's time to come to a place where we bow before God and we allow God to do what only God can do. God is the only hope for America. But hope is not hopeless. Repent and be converted. Repent and turn around. Have a change of mind and walk toward God instead of walking away from Him. The tragic part of what we're seeing right now is that many believers have thrown up their hands and say, what the use? Boy, that helps a lot. Quit cursing our nation. Our nation isn't a million people or 500,000 or 250,000. It's time to praise God and worship God and repent and call God's anointing to come to this land and change it. We're not going to change it by separating ourselves from it. We're going to change it as we're involved in it, as God leads us and God directs us and God works through us. After repentance comes restoration. According to me, no. God says, and I will restore what the locusts have eaten. I'll restore what the thief has stolen. I'll restore the nation that people have messed up and given to the devil. Now look at me. There was never a more wicked king in Israel than Manasseh. Say Manasseh with me. He sacrificed his own children. The Bible says he polluted the streets of Israel with blood that God would not pardon. But Manasseh repented. Really? The most wicked king in Israel's history repented. So what did God do? God restored him. I'm not a great fan of our government. But let God work on people. And I'm not being political. I'm not trying to be political. I'm trying to be spiritual. America elected leaders to the presidency and Congress and the House and the Senate, and they appointed Supreme Court justices. They need to be changed. You may say, well, you don't have a right to say that. I got free speech in my building. No. And if you tell anybody, it doesn't take a spiritual giant to realize something's wrong with America. But we are foolish when we want to curse our nation over a few things. I love America. I've been to several countries. I'll take America. Do I like the direction? Not necessarily. Do I like what I'm seeing? You see, we don't see what's happening in churches around this nation. We just see what Fox and CBS and ABC and NBC and CNN want to show us. Find out what God's doing before we give up. If God doesn't give up on America and telling us to pray for our nation, then why should we? How many of you have unsaved loved ones living in this country? How many of us have people that need God desperately? I was talking to a man from Winnipeg, Manitoba. And I lived on the Canadian border, and on vacation they pulled in across from us in the campground. The government, besides what other taxes, has put a 15% tax on everything they buy. Besides the other taxes, gas is about $4 a gallon. And the nation financially is about as bad off as America. I cannot stand up here and call sin over there and call sin sin. Because that would be a violation of people's rights. In fact, as a Canadian pastor came to America and preached that a certain type of sin was sin, he getting back to Canada, they had a tape of his message and they threw him in jail. And so, we can look at it and say, wow. I still believe with all my heart God is restoring. Going to bring people in. Going to bring people back. Okay, look at me. How many of you several years ago would have thought you'd be sitting here today listening to a preacher? How many of you did God have to do a little work on? Stan, were you a little stubborn? Paul?
Definitely.
How about you? Were you stubborn? You still are. No. How many of you were stubborn when it came to Jesus? Raise your hand. I mean, you just made up your mind, I'm not doing that. I don't believe that. But how much patience did God have? You know something? I should be 6 feet under. When I was being a wicked little boy, I bought me a 64 GTO with three deuces. I think it was 289. What was that, Jason? Yeah. It had a lot of power. I was going down the causeway up over Canada over the Rainy Lake one day, and I was going 80, and a car tried to pass me, and I stepped on it, and he couldn't get around me. Thing just roared. Beautiful, metallic green. But here's the deal. One day I was going down the streets of Fort Frances, Ontario with my friend. It's a two-lane road. Cars parked along this way. And I decided I was going to pass this guy. And I never saw the car coming right toward me. So I pulled out. I gunned it. I couldn't get there. So I stopped and I swerved and I came around him on the inside, and there was a parking place. There's no way you can do this. I came into that parking place and I sucked out in front of him without hitting the car that was parked along the road. Don't you ever try it, Lane. If God wouldn't have helped me, I was going about 65 or 70, I'd be buried where my mom and dad are. And how many of you can think of times that you shouldn't probably be here, but you are? Because God spared us and restored us like He likes to do to America. And I can tell you story after story after story. Thirdly, after repentance and revival and restoration comes revival. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Upon my maidservants and my men servants, I will pour out my spirit. He includes everyone. So just do one thing and I'm done. Whatever you hear, whatever you see on the television, whatever's going on, first of all, come to Jesus. Pray for the families, and pray for the families of these police officers. How tragic. But pray for our nation. Keep in mind, our nation isn't just land. Our nation is people. Pray that God moves in this nation. And you say, well, Pastor, we've been saying that for years. Nation of Israel wasn't changed overnight. When the kings changed, the nation changed. For good or for bad. We need God as our leader. We need a nation that founded and built on Christ and His principles. And be careful. And I'm watching myself. Be careful you don't start hating people. Easy to do. I don't like this group. I don't like that group. Don't do that. Our country has a lot of hope. And you're still in America, so I believe that almost all of us here believe it's the best place to be. Let's invest into America. our lives, our prayers, even our concerns. And please don't look at stuff and say, well, I'm not voting this year. I'm just not voting this year. Just keep in mind one thing. The next president probably will appoint 2 or 3 Supreme Court justices. Just keep it in mind. God hasn't given up and God hasn't stopped loving the people of America.